Okay, as the phones get lit up, we'll be right back with our guest Roger Tulsis on Coast to Coast AM. Tell us a little bit more, Roger, about the equipment you use when you do your job.
Okay. Well, one question I wanted to ask you, George, on the how many stations are we going out to these days?
We are going out to a Stones hit under 500.
Okay.
Plus, we're on XM satellite, and we stream on the Internet. So we're talking about anywhere between 4.5 to God knows how many million people who pop in and pop out in any given night.
Okay, well, here's my question to you. If we're going out on 500 transmission antennas, what would you guess would be the total amount of wattage of those summated antennas that you and I are putting out into space in the cities around America?
Oh, my God. Well, just on a conservative basis, let me do a little math here. Hold on. Do you have an answer for me? You're going to help me out when I guess?
Well, I would say we're pushing 1 million watts at least, wouldn't you say?
I would say maybe 5 million watts.
You figure? Yeah.
Yes.
Some of them
are 50,000 watters.
Well, they back down at night, though. They come off 50,000.
Well, not all of them.
No.
Some of them are what we call these clear channel stations, and they're huge. You know, WABC. WLS in Chicago, WABC in New York, KFI, their power's down a little bit at night only because their transmitter got hit by an airplane some time ago, and they got to patch that up. But I would guess we're way over that in terms of wattage.
Okay, so you just think about that for a second, that you and I in this conversation are transmitting 5 million watts of power into the cities of America, and all that energy is being saturated into the brains, not only, you know, through the radios, but through the actual directed energy.
That's a good point. Very good. That's a lot of power, though, isn't it?
It is a lot of power. You could fry a lot of turkeys on Thanksgiving.
All right, to the phones we go. You ready? Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Leota calling from KPNW in Eugene.
Sure. Hi there.
Hi. First, I'd like to say hi to John, if you're out there, for introducing me to the show years and years and years ago. And I have two questions, one regarding tinfoil hats. I've heard a lot about tinfoil hat people, and I want to know if that truly does help create a barrier, or if you're just more of a target, if it enhances the signal. And also regarding MSG, because their bodies are made mostly of water, and now I hear the agenda of the MSG put out there only enhances our signal. And I'll take my answers off the air.
That's interesting. I don't know about the MSG part, Roger.
Yeah, okay. Well, as far as the metal hats goes, I do have people that have some success with aluminum. One way you can test whether material is any good or not is wrap a cell phone around a cell phone that's on, and then call the cell phone. If the cell phone doesn't work, well, then you're having some successful shielding.
Okay, very good. By the way, that the clank you heard was my chair fell apart.
Oh.
Here in the old cave.
It's standing room only now, huh?
It's in little pieces. I'll have to fix it later. First time caller line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, my name's Debbie, and I'm calling from Templeton, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Debbie.
I've tried to get a hold of you last night and couldn't get through, but I think it still has to do with tonight's subject.
See, it's fate, Debbie. You made it.
I hope so. Anyway, I was wondering if maybe Roger knew about the Jim Jones. I caught last month a thing on television. I just caught the end of it. And they said that supposedly Jim Jones worked for the CIA.
Who knows?
From the CIA killed him.
Okay,
I shot him there.
Yeah, I don't know much about Jim Jones, but I do know that they did experiments in all kinds of venues, LSD and all kinds of things like that.
That was a shocker. I mean, I wasn't expecting anything like that, and for it to be on a biography. I don't know if it was a biography or History Channel, one of those. I seem to always catch the end of things, but I just wondered.
Well, he was in the mind manipulation, but I don't think he had the kind of technology we're talking about tonight, Roger.
No, but I certainly know they used it at Waco when they were working on the the people that were held up in Waco, they tried all kinds of directed energy devices.
Didn't work.
No, it didn't, but I think they were using mostly acoustic devices at the time. They weren't using any of these non-lethal weapon directed energy microwave equipment.
Wildcard Line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, hi. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Oh, what an excellent show. I hope Roger might give us regular updates and be a regular guest. A point of clarification and then 3 points I want him to touch on. Brief. I'll be brief, and I'll listen over the air. First of all, when you refer to the developed nations as civilized, when you break down the word actually deals with peace-loving entities. So even developed sort of misses the mark considering what's being done. I'd like him to touch on how he got into this work, you know, how he got involved. The second is I'd like him to give us some history of that Title 50, Section 32, 1520A, how that came about and under who. And lastly, I'd like him to touch on the OnStar and the LoJack systems. The first supposedly help you in a crisis, and the second to prevent car theft. It seems like a tracking device, and I really appreciate this program. I'll listen over the air. Thank you.
I don't know if we can cover all those.
take the first two. OnStar's my client.
Okay, so the first one has we should call them industrialized nations because the civilized part I can relate to that. Okay. She was talking about what the other subjects there.
Well, she wanted to know how you got involved in, of course, the title.
Yeah, I was an electronics whiz kind of kid, and then building recording studios in Los Angeles, and then I had a lawyer that was my lawyer at the time. He was defending some gangster kind of people, and he bought the equipment because he thought the government would be bugging him, and that's how I got into it.
All right. Hey, I want to address the OnStar for a moment just because I don't want her to think I'm ducking a question. With every amount of technology that's out there, it can be good or bad. It can be abused or it can be very helpful to humanity. And I know of some direct cases where people have been in serious trouble and the communication systems and the direct link have helped them vitally. But with anything, you got to make sure that it doesn't get abused by government. And I think that's the danger, Roger, and I think that's what you've been trying to tell us tonight, that it's very possible in many cases that government, whether they are black ops programs or people above government, they can abuse the power.
Well, this is why the Founding Fathers wanted to have these warrants and these Fourth Amendment requirements to have probable cause, to have affidavits, and those processes handled by a judicial entity overseeing these things. They just didn't want to have one part of government have the power to do things without the other's authorization.
Next up, let's go to our wild card line. Your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Interesting show. Very interesting. You caused me to lose more sleep than I really need to, but I always love the show. I thought you'd find it interesting. I've got he's not quite 7 months old, Rottweiler puppy. Excellent dog. I know you're a cat man, but he's full-blooded, and I was just going to say that in order to register him as a full-blooded dog, it is required, I mean, it's written down in paper, it's required that he have a chip implanted so he can be tracked.
Oh, really?
Yes. I mean, it's like pretty much written in blood.
Yeah.
That is.
And I don't know. See that as a precursor to, you know, let's test it on my pets. And, yeah, we're just one step away from it being something that, you know, comes on with people. And, you know, just when you get a minute, just look at Revelation 13, 16 through 18. I mean, it's prophesied. You know, I don't know. George, I feel like you at least have a working knowledge of, you know, the Bible and everything. And I feel like somewhat spiritual, man. It's, brother, it's coming. I'm telling you right now, it's coming.
I know when you add it all together, it's pretty close. I was, matter of fact,
just,
I was,
you know, look at the climate changes.
I know it. I was watching an End Times Prophecy show last night. And, you know, when you look at the technology and you look at the earth changes and you look at everything that's going on, we may be right in the middle of it. Let's go west of the Rockies. It's your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, George. I appreciate you taking my call. This is Richard in Las Vegas, and I have a question regarding my sister has a couple of things that are happening. She hears, like, crackling around her window and around, like, appliances in the bathroom. They have a bathroom in their bedroom. And something has happened to her ear where it's gone right to the bone. I don't know if you've ever had this. It ended up going to the other ear. She went to the cancer center. They don't know what it is. And my brother-in-law ended up, he's now getting the same thing. And also she went for a biopsy, and they put an aluminum, some kind of aluminum or some kind of thing inside of her, and she talked to another GM who said that shouldn't have been done that way. So I just wondered what your take was on it.
Well, not enough details in what you're telling me, but it sounds very suspicious. All the things sound suspicious, but we do have many people that hear noises or hear voices and other information coming out of rotating motors like fans and refrigerators. There are modulated waves where you can take those normal rotations and you can modulate those rotations and make voices and other kinds of phenomena. Once again, we would have to unleash all our equipment at her location to really find out what's going on there.
Roger, when your clients call you, the prospective clients, I mean, what do they say to you? I mean, how do they even start the conversation?
Well, most of them are so desperate because nobody believes them, and they've attempted to get help, and they normally don't get any. If they happen to call the local police department, many times they're taken into psychological observation for 72 hours. In other words, if you call up the police and say they're microwaving me and I'm having these symptoms and that symptoms, so... You know, you have to be very cautious about who you talk to about your problems when you're having them. And if you tend to, to get too loud about it, you get treated like you're a psychological patient.
Now, when you are on the job, is it your job then to prove that they're sane, or are you trying to find an answer for them? Are you trying to implicate somebody else? What are you trying to do?
Well, we arrive with a completely open mind about what the case can be about, and then it's just a matter of unleashing all this high technology to make environmental readings to find out what the sources of energy are located at the principal location where they're having the major problems. We also have to arrive at the time of day when it's at its worst, which for many people is at night. And we have to go in in a covert manner in case there is somebody doing it on purpose. So we have to, and many times we'll go into the unloaded in the garages of these homes and take the equipment out and set it up. And sometimes we'll stake a location out for three straight days in a row.
What's the most incredible thing you've come across? Was that microwaving episode or something else?
Well, it's hard to pin one down. There's so many of them. One of the things that happens quite a bit that's extremely extraordinary is when somebody gets remote sexually attacked. You can, through these directed energies, sexually assault an individual at a distance with energy. And to watch somebody go through that process, it's really, because, if you have that happen to you, it's very unnerving.
Absolutely. Next up, Wild Card Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi. How's it going?
Yes, sir. Fine. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. Say, I was listening to the classic show of June 12, 2003 last night.
All right.
And it was a great show. I really enjoyed it. And I was talking to a friend of mine today, telling him that the cell phones can be tracked cell by cell, even though they're off. And he swore up and down, no way they can't do it. And I was just curious, how can we as just regular little people get proof of that cell phone tracking? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. How do they get the proof?
Well, it seems to me that there's a number of police cases where they've located the individuals and arrested them based on their cell track location. They put it in the newspapers and they've discussed it. But basically, The way the cell system works is that when your cell phone moves into a new cell tower area, it handshakes with that particular cell site. And then there's three antennas on each mast. Each one faces a different direction. So by having making an intensity reading on which direction is the most intense out of the three antennas, you have a direction. Then you send a ping, what they call a ping, to the cell phone, and based on the time delay from the downlink to the uplink return, you have a sense of distance. So you can, through just the technology in and of itself, narrow someone down probably to within a half block.
First-time caller line, you're up. Hi there.
Hey, George. First of all, I got to tell you, I haven't had a decent night's sleep in about 2 years since I started listening to you.
Well, me either.
Yeah, I tell you what, this is scary stuff. Just had an idea about how these things might be able to get worked into the system with no surgery, nobody knows anything about it. Watch batteries. Have you guys considered the fact that these things could be implemented into a little watch battery? Almost everybody's got a watch.
Okay, but in how do they leak into our system?
It would just be kind of like a transmitter or a little microphone or whatever.
And it stays in the watch then?
It stays in the watch. See, and they're, you know, just like anything else, you go buy a pack of razor blades, they can track you all through the store and all that stuff. We know this. And the thing is powered up by a signal that hits the chip, is it not?
Well, some are powered that way, and then others are powered off your actual muscles. In other words, the implants themselves derive their power from muscular movement.
From muscular movement, yeah. The current that the body generates on its own, I suppose.
On its own, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you thought about that? Is that something that, I mean, gosh, so simple?
Well, you know, they do have these kind of things, like they're putting around people's, the criminals that are stuck at home, like Martha Stewart, where they have a watch-sized chip that's keeping her under surveillance at home, so they certainly have them.
They got that, and all they'd have to do is downsize it a little bit. You know, a guy like me, I'm a watchmaker and clockmaker and jeweler. I could be putting the things in and not even know it.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and the scary thing is they got this stuff. The technology is there almost, and it's. I'm like you. I really don't understand why the people are not like in the Frankenstein movie. They ought to be out with torches and clubs and pitchforks going up the hill, seems like.
It may come to that one day.
I'm sure it probably will. One quick question here, just an observation. Coming to work every day, I pass an elementary school, so maybe a mile away from where I work. When school is in session, day and night, the radar detector goes berserk when you go by that place. There's no radar around, no grocery stores, no nothing else, just a school there in a little quiet neighborhood. And you get near this school, the radar detector goes nuts.
What's in there?
X-band or K-band?
I haven't paid attention.
Okay, look around the school there. You may see that they may have what they call a T1 data link, and the T1 data link will be X-band, and that will trip it off, and that would be a dish kind of antenna that would be sitting on a tower.
We'll be back. We're going to take some final phone calls with our special guest tonight, Roger Tulsis. His website again, bugsweeps.com. It's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, Paul Smith joins us, former Stargate military remote viewer, author of Reading the Enemy's Mind. I'm looking forward to that. We'll be back in a moment. We'll take final phone calls with Roger Tulsis on Coast to Coast AM. So, Roger, look into a crystal ball and tell me what you think the next 10 or 15 years will look like on this planet with all the things we've talked about tonight.
Well, I tell you, one of the things that we had talked about on that last show was this brain tap experiment where they had made this link between this individual, they put the microchip in his head and then they tied it to a computer and he was sitting there playing Pong. One of the things that we were talking about is this upload-download. When they eventually figure out how to upload and download to the human brain, I think that's going to be the real big breakthrough relating to computers and humans on a merge, so to speak.
Yeah, I think so, too, and I think that will happen. You know, this is kind of bizarre, but when the baseball great, the legendary Ted Williams, died, apparently he asked his family to have his brain in a cryogenic chamber, so his head, which they have detached since from his body, is in one of these chambers, and they're merely waiting for the day that they can download his memory and clone him. And then you have Ted Williams all over again.
Well, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. And keep in mind, if you know, a lot of people think that the way we're going to transfer ourselves in the future is that we're going to walk into one of these integrator disintegrators and we're going to beam ourselves from one side of the universe to another, you know, and reintegrate ourselves back to human beings. But my sense of it is that once you can move your mental being into a pure energy form, there would be no reason that you actually have to move the body as well. And of course, you see this in the Matrix, where they're actually laying in couches and they are their mental entities are moving through energy.
Yes.
So I think that that's the other big breakthrough, aside from uploading, downloading. In other words, let's say you wanted to learn a book and in a 30-second download. I think that's going to become part of it, but I think that there's going to be a very big merge into a master entity. It's hard to say, but some kind of, hopefully a positive entity, and it won't be some kind of massive surveillance system.
Is nanotechnology going to enhance this?
Well, really, that's what you're talking about. When I'm talking about that, as the surveillance goes up, or the surveillance intensity goes up, as does the chip intensity. So as you get down to these nano sizes and those, you're able to build chips that are smaller and smaller, that you are talking nanotechnology.
To the phones we go, the final phone calls. Wildcard Line, you're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hey, George. This is Joe calling from Kenmore, New York, right outside
hey,
of Buffalo.
Joe. Sure. Good to have you with us.
Hey, welcome, Roger, too. Excellent subjects tonight, I must say. And hey, just because we're paranoid, that doesn't mean they're not out to get us.
I like that.
Well, yeah, actually, I'm calling on a voice over IP line. I just had this installed in my house, and it was such a great economical deal. I was wondering if the money I'm saving right now is just making it easier for Big Brother to listen to what I'm saying.
Well, actually, packets, a lot of the communication system now is packets. So when you come up to a cell, go up to a cell site with your cell phone, a lot of the transmission systems from the cell towers back to the switching center are packetized now. So we're going, packets or IP packets are really taken over as being the major data transport format.
Oh, wow, and that's the same with my home line too, right?
Yeah, it's all, and also the data that you're receiving for your computers. It's all one packet stream. And, of course, as those packets go out, they have destination addresses, and they just go on off into this gigantic cloud of networks all over the world. And, you know, hey, they may go from Buffalo over to Europe and then back over to your buddy in Texas or somewhere if you're emailing them, that kind of thing. You never know where it's going.
Not to mention also now that if the power goes out or the cable modem goes out, my phone is dead.
Well, that is a problem. And, of course, you know, it does make it somewhat easier pickings as far as surveillance, but that's... It's all going into IP packets anyway. It doesn't really make a difference.
Wow. Well, you guys have a great night, and thanks for the show.
All right. Thank you, Joe, for being part of the program. West of the Rockies, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Ruth. I'm calling from Yakima, Washington, and
hi,
I want to
Ruth.
Say hi to my daughter, Nicole, up in Anchorage, if she's listening, because she's the one that got me hooked on your show.
Well, good for her.
Okay. And my question for Roger is, well, actually, he'd mentioned a bunch of symptoms earlier from microwave radiation, I guess?
Yes.
Okay, I have about almost all of those, but I was diagnosed a couple of years ago with severe anemia, and I don't know if you have all those, if you're getting this microwave radiation, can that cause anemia too? Or?
Yeah, well, you would need to check your environment out, or you can just go get your, get some shielding material. We have metallized fabric sleeping covers that we recommend for people. You know, once you get the metal out of your bed, then you cover yourself with these metallized fabrics that we have that will knock down 80% of the radiation. Of course, what we're trying to do is shield you at night, make sure that you're resting, because a lot of the symptoms are when these radiation and cell towers come up to power in the morning, a lot of people, hearts will start beating, and their hearts and their metabolism speeds up as these power levels kick in and affect their brains. So we try to shield people so that at least they can get rest.
Okay, so you can't, a microwave couldn't leak that much radiation, or you can't get it, like, from your TV or computer?
Well, no, it is possible, but most of these sources that are problemsome are not home appliances, unless, of course, you're running your microwave with the door open, which you can't do in most cases. But no, it's mostly outside environmental stuff, and, you know, George and I were talking about, we're coming out over 5 million watts plus. And that's just one of the types of energy that's saturating the cities right now. So we would have to, that's why we have all this equipment that we have to check your environment to find out exactly what you're getting hit with. But, you know, it's not healthy. And the longer you get exposed to it, the worse things get on a health basis.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Let's go to our first time caller line. It's your turn. You're on with Roger Tulsis. Hi there. Let's see if this button works. There you go. Go ahead there.
Okay. And I called Verizon and I said, can you explain this? And he said, we don't know who did it, but he said it was done from a computer. And the email was, I wrote it down. This is like, I don't know. It was something dot Navy dot mil, as in military, I guess. And I said, now, why on earth would somebody like that want to be checking my voicemail and asking questions about, you know, me and my husband? I mean, we're not like criminals or anything. I mean, it was very, very strange. He said, if I were you, and the guy from Verizon said, if I were you, I would, try to find him. Okay, he said, that is highly illegal. He said, whoever did this went to a lot of trouble to do it.
What does your husband do for a living? Is he in the military?
No, he's a computer. He's not a computer programmer. He's got a degree in computer science. He's, you know, right now he's not working, but maybe they were trying to figure out. I mean, he's never worked with the military.
So you were saying, though, somebody was sneaking into your voicemail on your cell phone?
Yeah, yeah. It was, and he had his own cell phone, so I don't know who they were after. They were asking. This is like 3 years ago.
Have you ever heard of that, Roger?
Well, yeah, you can hack into a cell phone and a voicemail like you can in any other computer. You just got to think of these cell phones as being computers that are just not as large as your home variety yet,
right.
But they're getting there, and so a lot of the same hacking principles apply.
Yeah, it was very strange, and he said, if I were you, I would, you know, try and find out and, you know, sue him or something. He said, this is highly illegal. I mean, at the time, I guess, I think it was 2004, maybe 2005. No, it was 2004.
Yeah, definitely. But who do you sue?
Yeah, right.
That's the problem.
I don't know.
Roger, what about class action suits out there? Anything brewing?
No, not as far as I know. Almost everybody that tries to sue a government entity, especially a covert one, the cases get dismissed under national security.
Okay, well, let's go to our next wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air for us. Hi there. Go ahead, Steve.
Hello?
Yeah.
Am I on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Richard from Holyoke, Mass.
Go ahead, please.
And when I used to work for New England Telephone back in the 80s, and one thing I discovered while doing the divestiture of the phone companies or the Bell systems was that the NSA, as quickly as the companies were being divided up, NSA was in wiring up hardline stuff to tap into everybody's homes back then. And I also had a question for Roger. is he familiar with any kind of sub-audible communication coming either through television or through other services? Because I discovered, by borrowing a friend of mine's testing device for ham radios, that there was CTCSS subaudible communication, I think, coming through television, but I wasn't sure, but I could pick up a signal that was running from 80 to 110 megacycles. Does that sound familiar at all?
Well, you know, there's all kinds of coded data that are coming into these signals at this time. When you look at the normal transmission commercial signals, they're carrying all kinds of information and data and all that, and subliminal certainly could be there. And I just talked to a guy the other day that was that had the NSA send him a little commercial that they tailored for him specifically. It was a rather interesting story. He said he was sitting there watching TV one day, and the NSA sent him a little commercial special for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, these things happen, so it doesn't surprise me.
East of the Rockies, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Welcome to the program.
Hello. How are you this evening?
We are well. Thank you.
All right. I'm Scott. I'm out here in Colorado. And earlier talking about, you know, cell phones being used to track you, transmit information. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever really tinkered with yours and gone in and looked at all the stuff that it will do, but on mine, there is actually a sub-menu that you can get into that allows you to turn the GPS tracking on or off, and it says GPS tracking right on the screen. I don't know if you guys were aware of that.
Oh, there's all kinds of sub levels you can go into these machines. They do much more than most people know, and they've got the ability to do a tremendous amount of surveillance, both in terms of listening and in terms of tracking.
Yeah, and also one other thing is, you know, we were discussing how they're basically little handheld computers, and something that's really popular now is the texting. You know, you get your joke of the day or whatever on your cell phone.
Sure.
Can viruses be transmitted that way? Can your cell phone actually get a virus? Because mine, here a while back, started doing very crazy things like arbitrarily making calls by itself to numbers that are in my my address book, you know, my phone book.
Yeah.
I called the technical support people from my provider, and he was befuddled. He had absolutely no idea. He'd never heard of that before.
Yeah. No, you can definitely hack a cell phone, and you can give it a virus, and the same problems that you have with the computers can be done to cell phones. It's basically the same architecture, only smaller.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your time this evening, and you guys have a good day.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that, too. A lot of people are text messaging these days, Roger. Can something happen? Can something go awry with that, too?
Well, the government, NSA, monitors them as well. So all that data also flows through just through the same filters that are being monitored at the switches.
It really is absolutely incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. It is your turn. Hi there.
My name is Brian. I'm calling from Boulder, Colorado.
Hello, Brian. Thank you.
Thank you, George. Roger, is it true that if the battery is disconnected or out of a cell phone, that cell phone cannot be tracked?
I think that's correct.
Yeah,
as far as my knowledge, it is.
That's what I've heard. Okay, that's all I got. It's a great show. I've listened to you before. I'll listen to you again.
Thanks.
You know, the problem is, Roger, it's a pain in the neck to take that battery out of a cell phone all the time. I mean, most people can't even take the back of the phone off.
Yeah. Yeah, not only that, it defeats the ability for it to receive calls. But, you know, I can tell you this, that when I'm sitting down for a serious discussion with somebody, I'll make sure that that cell phone is packed inside something where it can't be listening, like a briefcase that's substantially, you know, thick. Or I'll pull the battery if I'm sitting with somebody where I really don't. And, of course, the other thing is I use detector pens. I have these pens that light up when you got a cell phone that's transmitting close by, and they're really helpful as well, cell detector pens.
Trouble is you just don't know who's listening, do you?
No, you don't. And the problem with this other technology is if it's listening and not transmitting, the cell detector pen doesn't go off until it does the upload, which is this compressed data burst of the 15 minutes of conversation. So that really made it difficult.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah. George, first of all, let me say maybe to save Tom's life and Bertha's life, you might try some Super Drive. It's a company out there in California. I have no part in it, but I can leave you the information if you want later on. It saved a lot of my plants and my friend's plants, too. For Roger, again, you know they have these microwave towers now that can short-circuit your car's computer and stop your cars. They can upload your voice through your right brain, send it back to you six times faster, and while you're talking with your left brain, you start hearing signals or tones, whatever they want you to do. Are you also then familiar with the natural diodes for strengthening your body's bioelectric field and speed up the signal from ELF to a higher wavelength so it doesn't burn you up? And are you familiar with these broadcast diseases?
Well, yeah, some of the stuff you're talking about I'm not familiar with, but I'm always open to emails that can give me a little more detail or give me some websites that would have further information. I would like that.
Okay. George, again, Bertha might be saved with Super Thrive.
Okay, we're trying to save my plant, Roger, that seems to be dying in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
But
just make sure you give it living water. Don't forget there are different levels of water, and the kind of water that comes out of your taps is dead water because it's not moving. It sits in PVC, so you need to get water that's tumbling down a mountain stream.
No, you're right. As a matter of fact, I think they started giving it Dr. Emoto's water. He's the Japanese scientist,
right,
who claims that water is basically alive. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens there.
And you also being 86% water, if you give yourself living water, you will be more alive.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Roger, thanks again for being part of the program. Appreciate it. Good luck with everything you do, my friend.
Okay, and thanks for sharing your 5 million watts with me.
At least 5 million. That's Roger Tulsas. He's an investigator specializing in electronic countermeasures. Always good to get him on the program because we always have some knowledge to learn when Roger is on the program. By the way, Glynis McCann's website, numberslady.com, is back up and running after you slammed it. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.